chest. They were born in bloody circumstance. To go, leave me, run like you've never run before. A voice from the underground, given room to breathe, not but be drowned. So die if you get the chance. Better men than you've been led this dance. So go, leave me. Nothing left for me to hate, so I can lay me down, my brothers on the ground. I bled today until Coyote comes to raise me up and carries me. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast. It is myself, John Anderson, in the hot seat tonight. We are going to have a wee look at the URC, which is kicking off again. We are back. It'll be kicking off tomorrow night, and we are all very excited about that. Joining me tonight, we have, well, we might have some more special guests joining us in due course, but at the moment, we have my brother from another mother. It's Ian Hay himself. How are you doing, pal?
Hello, everyone. Nine people watching, and you may notice something missing.
This is true. It is not our esteemed normal chairperson, host, and all-round good guy Cammy that is missing. No. Ian has, for those on audio, Ian has lost a bit of his facial fluff. You do look about 40 years younger, pal.
Yeah, Benjamin Buttoned.
I was a bit concerned when I saw the photo at first. I wasn't sure, like, do you know in Harry Potter when Voldemort becomes that like screeching baby thing, like in the last film? I was a bit concerned you'd become that.
You know, I've only seen the first Harry Potter because I was just being a bit one of these. I wouldn't say snobby. I was just like, nah, everyone else likes it, so yeah. I'm not going to just to be difficult. And so then, like, you know, now that J.K. Rowling has outed herself, I was about to watch them as well. I'd said to Rona, I was like, I might watch these just so I get more of the pop culture references. But
I think you should commit to it, Ian, and watch it. I think it's still worth it, even aside from J.K.'s obvious intolerance. But definitely, you look like you've been revived by a Horcrux. So any Scottish Rugby Harry Potter fans out there who get that reference, thank you and good night. It's good to see you looking fresh-faced, pal.
It'll be back as soon as it's back, and it will be going again.
As soon as it's back.
Yes.
Do you, like, do you, so I remember when I was at school, who was like, obviously, you know, when you're like, so I was obviously quite a beardy guy at school from quite an early age, but like all my wee mates and stuff like that were always dead like keen to grow beards, and there was used to be like their older brothers and stuff used to tell them rumors like, if you put conditioner in your face every day, it'll help your beard grow and things like that. So there was like people with like full scale conditioner regimes going on trying to grow like a wee bit of bum fluff. Outrageous.
It's a valid form of ID in many bars as well.
Exactly. I don't think I've been ID'd since I was about 14, to be fair. But it's a good form, that. And there was a bar in Aberdeen. We'll come to rugby in a minute. There was a bar in Aberdeen that used to get free entry if you had a mullet as well, which I occasionally grew my hair out a wee bit. Yes, this was before I looked like a baldy boy. I used to go and get a wee free entry in a rock bar with a wee mullet. So, good times.
The entire All Black squad get in there. Then.
Well, they absolutely could, and we will come to the All Blacks boys, I'm sure, at some point during tonight's proceedings. But we are here for Scottish rugby, of course. First of all, we'll get the nonsense out of the way. If you like the rubbish that me and Ian have just been exchanging there, you can come along, you can become one of our Patreons, and you will get extra special content, including... Ian has, you've just put out some extra content for the Patreons, haven't you, Ian?
Yes, there was an interview. We're putting it on the main one soon, aren't we?
We're going to put it on the main one soon, yes, but we've popped it out for our Patreons only at the moment, just to give them a wee bit of a sneak preview. So Ian had an interview with, now let me get the names right, Rory and...
James,
yeah, because it's Rory and James and Gordon and Peter, it's like... I mean, basically, it's like a Thomas the Tank Engine episode. I get very confused. But yeah, so there's a book being written about Peter and Gordon Brown, famous Scottish internationalists, and Ian had the pleasure of interviewing Rory, and I've forgotten his name.
James.
Why is that not sticking? Yeah. Rory and James.
Pretty Scottish name.
That's a really good Scottish name as well, yeah. So how was the interview anyway? Was it good fun?
It was good, yes. I certainly enjoyed it, and I think they did as well. Unfortunately, because it was... I forgot, like, the Zoom professional trail has ended. So our countdown came on, I was like, I better wrap this up. We covered quite a lot of bases, and you should go get the book.
You should go and get the book, and you should come and join us in Patreon and hear Ian's interview amongst a whole host of other content. You also get access to our world-famous exclusive Hands in the Ruck section, which is where the guests and myself cut loose a wee bit, get a wee bit of our sweary on, and put the world of rugby to rights. If you head over to patreon.com/ScottishRugbyPod, you can get onto the Patreon. It's £3 a month, or if you're feeling very, very generous, you could put your hand in for £5 a month, and that gets you a membership of the Patreon and gets you the exclusive content and access to our super secret, wonderful, fantastic Hudan Facebook page, where one of our Patreons... They've not posted it on here or there, but I follow her on Twitter, and there has been a revelation, and we will come to this because I think something has been completed during this, and I'm going to get to play a jingle as well, which is class, but we'll come to that later in the episode. I'm very excited about this.
We've not had a good jingle in a while, have we?
No, do you know, that's why I keep the Hands in the Ruck jingle going for the Patreons, but you know what? The freemium, you're going to get a wee jingle tonight. I'm feeling it. But we are not here to talk nonsense about all sorts of rock bars and Harry Potter. We are here to talk about Scottish rugby. We will be looking at the URC, as I said. URC is back. United Rugby JZ Championship is back with us, and we kick off tomorrow night. Glasgow are away at my favourite side in the world, Benetton, and Edinburgh are at home to Cardiff, which...
Dragons.
Dragons, not Cardiff. Why? I was reading an article in Cardiff just before this. That's what that was. There we go. The Dragons. Thank you, Ian. So we'll start with... Because we've not got our Edinburgh resident correspondent here, we'll start on the west side. Glasgow are going away to Benetton. I've said a few times, Ian, that this shouldn't be a fixture that we are terribly worried about. And everyone scoffs at me. What's your view on it?
It shouldn't be, but it has of late. because we've not been very good. No, Benetton, but I don't think we lost in Italy for something like 10 years, did we? And then all of a sudden...
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
You know, Benetton had... they finished third, wasn't it? 3 seasons ago, so just pre-COVID. But again, you know, they've... Obviously, we spoke about this the other week. They've lost Monte Ioane, their key attacking threat. They still have some decent players. Like, I'm a big fan of Ignacio Brex. I think he's pretty good. Negri and Bram Steen in the back row. Obviously, Italy internationals, who Italy can sometimes cause Scotland a bit of bother. We should be looking to win and hopefully to start Franco Smith's reign off in style. I've not actually seen their team yet.
This is it. I've not seen the team sheet yet either. But I mean, this is the thing, right? So we're in a... It's the start of a new season. We've got a new coach who, frankly, has barely got his feet under the desk. You know, he's not been in post very long. New captain as well, in Kyle Steen. For me, it was necessary that we had a lot of change. And, you know, I was advocating the Wilson out card quite early doors. And it's interesting looking at the team. There's certainly some new faces in there, some interesting calls as well. So let's just have a look at the team just now. So we've got Jamie Batty. We're just going in order. I'm not going 15-9, and then we're going to go 1-15 like normal people here. So we've got Jamie Batty, Fraser Brown, and Lucio Sordoni as the front row. Interesting, Fraser Brown gets the nod over Johnny Matthews. That certainly wasn't the preference last season.
Maybe it's a leadership thing, or, you know, leave Johnny Matthews to strike at the end, like the try-scoring Viper machine he is. Like I said, you know, maybe a sort of experience thing with Fraser Brown. So, well, we say experience, but then he'll give away at least one daft penalty. It'll be a no arms chop tackle or obstruction. There you go. Put that on Paddy Power right now.
There's your certainties.
Yeah, your top tips there. Sordoni only on a short term deal, but obviously he must have.
Interesting seeing him getting the nod over Fagerson though as well. You know, obviously, and the picture that we saw coming out, Fagerson obviously saying this is his ninth season with the Warriors, which is incredible, by the way. But he was looking a bit trim. He was looking quite slimmed down, actually.
Yeah, he was looking pretty lean, and I'm sure tight heads across the world were horrified at this. So, I'm pretty sure I said somebody, who was it replied? Was it Pierce Goon? It's like, get some chips.
yeah, it was Shuey and Rory Sutherland were battering in, weren't they? They were giving dogs abuse. So that's front row alliance is strong there, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know, has he maybe had an injury he's been working back from, or?
He had a long season. I haven't heard anything about an injury, so perhaps, but yeah, done a wee bit.
Do I know something terrible?
What?
I was looking up the Benetton team, or trying to find it on their Twitter, and they don't have a team sheet, they've got a damn video.
Oh, no, come on.
I'm going to watch a video.
No. If you're going to watch a video, go on mute.
No.
outrageous. Moving on to the second rows, we've got Lewis Bean and Richie Gray with Scott Cummings is on the bench. Perhaps slightly surprised. I mean, Lewis Bean has always been workmanlike, but for me, that's too lazy. Not lazy. Lazy is such a harsh word. Work rate is not their primary asset, second rows.
Mobility, I would
mobility,
say.
Mobility, there we go.
Yeah, they're pretty agricultural, I think.
I mean, they're not small.
No, big units. But he's what, 6'8", 6'9"? And I Richie's like 6'9", 6'10". Yeah. I saw somewhere, I can't mean who tweeted it, but the pack is 45 kilograms heavier than the average Wilson pack last year. Makes sense. I think most of it is in those two, to be honest.
Well, to be honest, we'll come on to the back row in a second, because I think that adds a fair bit of heft as well. Maybe slightly surprised not to see Dupree get a run out. Perhaps he's been working through.
He doesn't see. He's. I don't think he's not on the unavailable list.
And he's not on the bench, so.
Yeah, maybe they figured it was one of like
for courses, but if...
yeah, because he's very similar to Bean and Gray, so maybe they thought Cummings, he's a wee bit more, he's getting around the park better. And you're still not going to lose anything at lineouts. And obviously, well, I suppose with those two big lumps on, and Fraser Brown, if he can get his darts right, you're going to sap the life out of the Italy Mall. So maybe that's the thought process there.
Yeah. And we'll come on to the back row now. A couple of the names you've mentioned actually already in the Benetton team with Negri standing out as a phenomenal. I love watching him play. He's just such an aggressive.
I'm just getting up to the back row now on the video.
tell me he's in it before I build this up, Ian.
No, he's not. He's not. It's Pettinelli. Zuliani at 7, and then Canoni at 8.
Right, okay.
Canoni's
a good player, yeah. And I mean, I think Glasgow will be happy with that, actually, because that's not... I mean, it's a decent back row, but it's not standout. And actually, the back row Glasgow have picked, which is quite interesting. You've got... Mangese,
yes,
Mangese, yeah, 6, who is a lump of a big boy for a 6 as well. He is a big loon. You've got him at 6, you've got Matt Fagerson at 7, and then Jack Dempsey at 8. So realistically, you've got 3 8s in the back row.
Yeah, is Mangese not? I thought he was more sort of 5 6 a lock.
I suppose he can. Yeah, he probably hasn't played 8, but so, he's big enough to play 8.
And I think that sort of goes along with trying to drain Benetton down first with sending the heavy artillery first.
Yeah.
And then the snipers afterwards.
But it's worth noting as well, Glasgow have picked a 6-2 split on the bench. Mm. So I think the game plan is pretty clear.
Yeah, and also too, Darge and Gordon are both on the bench, aren't they?
Two fetchers.
Two sevens, because Fagerson isn't seen as there's no natural seven on the pitch. Fagerson's played there once, and I remember tweeting saying, I actually think this could work. He gets around the park and puts in his tackles. He's pretty decent over the ball. We just wanted to see him probably taking kickoff receipts and doing as much carrying. And then we get pumped.
Yeah.
so that worked well. Streetlights have just gone out. Maybe this is a chance to see if that works again. But we all know what Dempsey provides. Not seen a lot of Mangese. You said, big lad.
Played under Franco Smith at the Cheetahs as well. Franco Smith knows him. So a good sign from the new coach coming in that he's backing a player he's previously had under his tutelage. It's a good sign, and obviously he must have been turning up well at training, because you just look at Darge has played 6 for Scotland. Tom Gordon's just been possibly the unluckiest man in rugby to be like finally getting his slot and being like, oh yeah, this guy's phenomenal, and then Darge turns up.
It's like, this guy's been amazing, and it's like, yeah, mate, you're still only the 5th best open side in Scotland.
It's ridiculous, the depth in open sides. Oh, that beer's fizzing. Yeah, it's ridiculous how quickly the depth has swelled in that position. It's an interesting back row, and we'll pause at this point to kind of come on to a slightly different bit of news regarding Craig's favourite back row, Jack Dempsey. He said in an interview that he will imminently be making his announcement as regards to his decision about his international future.
That £10 will be changing hands soon, Mr. Anderson. But in what direction?
I think it was 10, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think there was a 10 spot placed upon it.
I still don't think he'll do it.
No?
No. I don't know. I think, you know what? I think as well, because Townsend's that way, sometimes he's just going to be like, nah, I'm not picking him. He's like, yeah, oh yeah, he has a brilliant number eight. Yeah, I think he's a wonderful player, but nah, I'm not picking him. Nah. I remember there was an interview with David Denton. Can't even think of the guy's podcast. But it's when he's talking about his injuries. And Townsend had said, Denton thought he was playing really well. And Townsend didn't pick him. And he was like, yeah, I want you to work on this. And then it's like, but my stats backed all this up. So I don't know how this was happening. Yeah. We'll see.
It's a very Townsend thing to do, isn't it? But I think, right, so for me, I was slightly buoyed actually by the interview, because I think the language that was used in the interview, if it was written verbatim, then I think he's going to be announcing for Scotland quite soon, because
all right, Mr. Glass half full.
It was very, very much.
You've been looking into his Scottish roots and all that.
I've been doing my Scottish roots. I've been looking at this, and he said something like, "You know, my dad's as Australian as they come. He's dying the wool. Australian, but I have to do what's best for me." Or so it's like something like that, and it's very like telling. Why would he make an announcement if he isn't playing for Scotland? Probably to put those rumours to rumor, bed.
Indeed, because it's going to keep
quite
coming up.
Simply,
you know, he's going to get fed up of being asked. So.
Probably, yeah. But I take that point. I was actually coming from one of the guys on YouTube there, Joe's Black. He said, why would he make an announcement if he isn't playing for Scotland? Yeah, we think he would make an announcement to say, you know what, I'm considering myself for Aussie selection, or I'm putting myself back in that hat or whatever. But yeah, put the rumours to bed. But I agree with you. Maybe this is the final piece of the puzzle, and this is, in fact, he will be announcing. It's going to be a massive press conference.
What is Rugby Australia's... do you know what their eligibility is just now? Yeah, because I know they were allowing some overseas people. Like Nick White, for example, he left Exeter to go back to Australia so he could play for Australia. And then the next year, they're like, if you had more than X number of caps law, you know, then you could play. But I think they were limited.
Right, got it here. Right.
Oh, cool. Sorry, I was reading the comments at the same time and losing track, I thought.
That's all right, yeah. So, in 2020, so, yeah, it's the Gittow's Law, as it was announced in 2020. So this allows the selection of two overseas-based players, regardless of the total overseas-based players in the squad, who don't meet the original criteria to be selected. In February 2022, further amendments were made to Gittow's Law. The new amendments would lower the original rule, which was 60 caps for Australia and a minimum of 7 seasons at Super Rugby level, to 30 test caps and 5 years at Super Rugby, respectively. The new amendment only allows for 3 overseas-based players to be selected. Just 5 months later, Dave Rennie urged Rugby Australia to expand it to 4. So it's 30 caps, 5 years at Super Rugby.
That was real Dempsey out. I think he's only got 17. I'm sure it was 17 or 27.
17?
17 or 27, I'm sure Dempsey's got.
Dempsey, Rugby Union. Let's have a wee look while we're here.
While you do that, I'll just... do you see the comment from the esteemed Dr. Harley Worthy about who's on the bench for Benetton?
Oh, I had not actually yet. So welcome, Harley. Great to have you along. Interesting on the Benetton bench. Benetton with all the N's, E's and T's. Is Scotland's forgotten son, Sam Hidalgo-Klein. Of course he's there as well, isn't he?
Probably pulling up trees as well.
He will be, yeah, yeah. New contract. Sam's at his absolute best. He'll go from town to town
like a gunslinger.
Yeah, that's classic Sammy. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he goes, actually, because it's so funny. Scotland scrum halves are just an indescribable enigma at every possible point. And everybody who is the test scrum half for Scotland is not good enough, and there's always someone better. And Sam was that person and he almost usurped Greg Laidlaw at one point.
He was well on the way. And then Ali Price came along, and then we thought it was going to be those two for a while. And then, I don't know, Sam had these, was it issues? Would we call them issues at Edinburgh? Whatever, he kind of fell out of favour. But then, you know, he's played for some massive clubs, and you know, he's a Heineken Cup winner. Let's not forget this.
That's the thing, yeah. Like, he's had, you know, he's been a bit of a journeyman, but he's had a good career. He's played
Has he played for Racing? Did he have a short spell at Racing?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, was it Racing he went to? Was that before?
I think that was after Exeter.
That was before.
Some kind of tournament was on. I don't know. Hang on.
I mean, right, so here we go. We've got Edinburgh. Here we go for a list of clubs, right? Edinburgh Rugby, Scarlets, Harlequins, Racing 92, Lyon, Exeter, and now Benetton.
He's gaining a wealth of rugby knowledge, I'm sure.
I'm sure he is, yeah. But, I mean, it could do with sticking in one place really well. But
what did you say? 29. He's still an option. If he plays well, I don't see why he can't get back in the squad. But, and, you know, like you said, we get so many. Like Scott Steele, for example, he's dropped off the face of the planet. You know, the best defensive nine in the world, as he was being touted, and the best, you know, the only guy who could like turn his shirt number upside down and fit in seamlessly.
Instantly fit in, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, he's got quite the career behind him. And actually, do you know what? Just perfectly timed, like he heard it. This was basically like, you know, it's like he'd heard on the grapevine that Sam Hidalgo Klein's name had been mentioned. And Craig instantly appears. Craig Manson, good evening and welcome along. How the hell are you?
Good evening, good evening. I am doing fine just off the rugby pitch tonight. So sitting with my tea just sitting beside me. And then all of a sudden I had to put my tea down because you mentioned Sam Hidalgo Klein.
A worthy cause to put your tea down. Poor Sammy. Sammy, we're just discussing that Sammy has the best journeyman career in history and has played for some absolutely massive clubs and will be playing against Glasgow at the weekend.
He's left in some lovely cities as well.
So,
yeah. Absolutely, yeah. We'll see him off the bench, but we'll see as he tends to be, comes off the bench to win European cups and stuff like that. Yeah.
That's it. Well, I swear to goodness, if he gets a turnover in the last minute against Glasgow, tables are getting flipped. It's going to be disgusting, especially if it's a Nigel Owen-style turnover that clearly was it was a horrible piece of cheating. Anywho, moving on, we're just talking about Glasgow just now, Craig, so you can eat your tea. We're just moving on to the backs just now. So we've got George Horn starting at 9, which is good to see. And he will be halfback partner with Tom Jordan, which has come out of nowhere. Glasgow have not had their problems to see Kip fly half in the pre-season with Ross Thompson having a back injury, Duncan Weir recovering from injury, and now Miotti going down with a hamstring injury. So There's been a bit of movement at fly half. Joel Hodgson had been brought in on a short-term contract. He is now off to pastures new to enjoy the sights and sounds of Utah, which I think will suit his flamboyant hairstyle no end. But yeah, Tom Jordan, Super Six graduate, Ian. Have you happened to come across him much in the Super Six?
Seeing as I'm the West Coast guy. I've seen him a number of times. And in the first season, when the sprint series, then the championship, he was one of the best players in the league. You know, him and Yari Fantini, who then actually went on to Benetton, but has now left, they were like two of the real standouts, whether at 10 or 12. I think he played 12 against the Bulls, funnily enough, in the Inverness game. He fits in quite well. You know, he's got a good eye for a gap. He's not your Duncan Weir kind of tactical kicking 10. He will look to play. He will look to, you know, like I said, look for a gap. He'll look to play people in. You know, he's a running distributing 10. With the kicking game as well, obviously, you know. But yeah, I think he's a good talent. Be interested to see if he can step up to the level.
It was really interesting when you see, and Craig, you've come across this in your time at Edinburgh quite a lot as well, when you see a young player kind of getting the keys to a big position, kind of out of nowhere. And yes, obviously injuries have kind of facilitated his position, but there was other options available, and Franco has backed youth here, as we kind of thought he was being brought in to do. You know, what's your sort of take on this? Is this the changing of the guard? Is Duncan Weir about to finally be put out to pasture, or are we about to see the birth of the new Finn Russell, or what's going on here?
Well, I think we talked about this before, and if you look at Garbisi, get his start at 19 or something like that.
Yeah, he was a young boy. Yeah.
And so, you know, Franco Smith is just doing Franco Smith things. And it can only be a positive step. There's no way he's getting to start in front of the players that he's getting to start in front of if he can't do the job.
Yep.
You know?
And it's interesting when you mentioned Ian. You said he's a distributing 10, he's a 10-12 kind of. As soon as you said 10-12, I was all in, like, and not 12-10, because that's a different thing, right? Let's get that clear, because we know Ian's going to have a absolute meltdown if we go 12-10 here. But a 10-12, I love a distributing 10 that can put. Like, I don't think I like kicking 10s. I think I'm just like. I just don't think I like them anymore. As soon as you said 10-12, I was all in.
I always remember, like, sort of never really appreciating Ronan O'Gara's style. You know, I was younger then and not as tactically astute as I am now, possibly. But yeah, you know, we all like to see, well, some of us do. There's the old curmudgeon, but most of us like to see fast attacking. played by a 10 who wants to have a go and try things. You know, your Carlos Spencers, your Finn Russells, Dan Carters and all that.
Your Blair Kinghorns as well, to be fair. He is a running Blair 10.
Certainly likes a gallop.
He does. A gallop, and we like that about him. We like that about him. Yeah, I remember my favourite Ronan O'Gara moment, and I summed up Ronan O'Gara. I know, right, Ronan O'Gara had a wonderful career and was obviously a very, very good player, and blah, blah, blah. Don't at me. I don't even care, guys. But my favourite Ronan O'Gara moment was quite late on in his career against Scotland at Murrayfield, where he took the ball and he looked to pass inside and realised, I don't have that pass. I can't do that. And it wasn't a massive pass. Like, most modern players would have just been like, off you go. And he had to, like, turn around and, like, kick it across the field. It made, like, an absolute of it. It was brilliant.
I was at that. That was 2013, wasn't it?
It was, aye. Yeah, it was class. It's class. So, finish up with the Glasgow backs. We've got Captain Kyle Steyn on the wing at 11. Surprised maybe not to see him at 13?
No, not really. I think Wilfred McLean still injured. He's one of the guys on the injured list, and Ollie Smith as well. So it's probably, you know, pieces of the jigsaw.
Last man standing for the wings, really.
Yeah,
he's played out there quite a lot, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he has. Yeah, I think he has played wing a lot, but I think it's that thing, Craig, where I think a lot of Glasgow fans like him at 13 because he has a really good defensive game about him, and he seems to organise really well from 13. So, like, being captain as well, it was almost quite a natural fit for me to be like, well, you would play in the midfield, organise around you. Playing at 11 maybe isn't quite, but do you know what? You've got captains across the park, so it's not.
He's 50th Warriors appearance as well.
50th appearance as well, making his captaincy debut, 50th appearance. And I think there were some stats about what it'll be like. So there was a thing on Kevin Miller's blog about if he starts on the wing or if he starts at 13, there's like different permutations for what captain he becomes and stuff. It's very interesting. So head over to his On Top of the Moon blog and have a wee look at that. It's quite interesting as well. One big thing I was quite surprised. So the rest of the team kind of picks itself. You've got Tua Peloto at 13. Kansi Larry, who was great last season at 14. And Cole Forbes is the only fullback available at 15. The one that stands out, though, Stafford McDowell getting a run at 12. This, to me, that's a huge statement. Stafford's been very vocal in the press, actually, in pre-season about how liberated he feels under Franco Smith. And, you know, we've talked in this podcast quite a lot about you know, certain players click with certain coaches and it is the making of them, or, you know, you maybe have a wee falling out and it's the breaking of you. And Stafford, for me, is a guy who's been on the cusp of breaking through for so many years, and he's no a young boy anymore. And I thought last season was his last chance saloon. So it's interesting to see him get a run again and see how he goes. Craig, a 6'4" centre, 6'4", 12, who can kick, who can run, who can crash, who can pass. I mean, we could do with one of them, right?
You've been screaming for it. No, sorry. I take that because Sammy G, you all love, the Weeds love Sammy G, so I'm not going to say anything negative about him. But Stafford McDowell at 12, I think it'll be really interesting to watch him go and see what happens. And this is what, and you know, obviously you've been discussing Glasgow a little bit, and when I saw the team sheet, it's the team sheet I've been screaming out for Glasgow to start messing around with for so long. To see George Horn getting a start, Ali Price on the bench, you know, and Stafford's been in and around the squad, but he's never really got a full chance at it. And I think having, you know, it's a youthful back line in the important positions, apart from George is no longer youthful, I suppose. But there's three players that have got to prove themselves. You know, 9, 10, and 12.
That's it, and absolutely, it'll be really interesting to see what the kind of rebound from the Danny Wilson era is, and see if, you know, in the short time Franco Smith's been there, if he's able to kind of give, because Horn again, like, obviously he was injured for a huge portion of last season, but the times you did see him, confidence wasn't necessarily there. There was some bad habits kind of crept into his game where he was, you know, a bit nippy and things, and we like a nippy scrum half, but it'll be interesting to see if Franco Smith's managed to kind of get him back to his best, because, I mean, George Horn at his best, even in the pre-season friendly against Worcester, and you saw George Horn at his best. Support lines, quick ball, doing exactly what, well, not Worcester as it ended up being Ayr, but the pre-season that friendly that went ahead, Horn looked good.
I didn't see any of it, to be honest. But I, you know,
I've
been a big fan of his for a while. Like, you know, I remember maybe 4 or 5 years ago being in the clubhouse after a game with Phil, and there was a picture of George Horn, like, draped, you know, we've got the sort of banners draped down the sides of players, and he said he's going to be the next legend at this club, and I thought so at the same time. But, you know, it's just the form of Ali Price, you know, certain international coaches not giving him a fair crack of the whip, in my opinion, and other things have maybe, and like you said, maybe some, you know, some ill-discipline, maybe not realising his full potential, that maybe stalled it a little bit. But yeah, he's such a talent, and his try scoring record is ridiculous, and points win games, so it's always helpful.
Points win games indeed, and that's what we'll be looking out for. Hopefully we see that tomorrow night. Alan McDonald, friend of the podcast, saying proper BAM squad on the bench, mind. Yeah, that's pretty fair. The bench, we've got Johnny Matthews, Ollie Kebble, Xander Fagerson. That's three people you wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley right away. Scott Cummings, Rory Darge, Thomas Gordon, as we've said, and then Ali Price and Duncan Weir. Now, the only concern for me on the bench there is you've got a 6-2 split, but you've got a dedicated 10. Normally a 6-2 split, you don't play a dedicated 10. That's going to be interesting. If a 10 goes down, we're, well, if MD goes down, we're scrambling.
Yeah, I mean, I can look at this. So there's reshuffles. So, you know, Jordan can move to 12, Steyn can move to 13, Tui Palotto can move to a wing spot. My biggest concern would be if Cole Forbes went down. Oh, I suppose you could just stick Duncan Weir or Jordan back there. Aye.
Oh, Duncan Weir at fullback. Oh, be still, my beating heart. Come on, Ian. No.
He's filled in there before. And when I say filled in, I mean it was obviously the glass needed smashed. This was an emergency.
Well, as in, he stood in the position. I think if Forbes goes down, McDowell will go to 15. He's played 15 before, so
I reckon Jordan could probably do it as well.
I reckon he could, yeah. But yeah, let's not have Duncan Weir go at 15, yeah. Please, for the love of all that's holy.
Let's just keep Cole Forbes on the pitch. He's going to get sin-binned.
What I want to see I want to last as long as I can this season without having an absolute, like, unbelievable meltdown. So, like, a last-minute loss to Benetton with Duncan Weir at fullback would probably be a lot of buttons getting pressed all at once. I'm not sure I would cope. I say, yeah, it would be like, yeah, you know, the glass would be getting smashed here, and that would be it.
All the buttons mashed simultaneously.
That's it. Right, let's go on to, we're going to scoot across the M8. We're not going to get held up in traffic because it's nice and quiet this time of night, but we're heading over to Craig's charges. No team as yet, but the big news coming out of Edinburgh, you've confirmed your co-captains for the year. No surprises, I presume.
Yes, no surprises. Big huff for me.
Don't sound delighted, Craig.
I'm not a fan of co-captains. I've never been a fan of co-captains, and I never will be a fan of co-captains.
This,
so I just it's don't get me wrong. They're two fine gentlemen, but I think it was time for Jamie Ritchie to take the reins. And no disrespect to Gilco, because Gilco's done a great job. And obviously he's captain Scotland over in Argentina. But I've never been a fan of it. So what a co-captain does give you, however, is that you've got that ability to have one rested and one on the field, and you don't have to name them every single game because of the captain. But so well done to them both, and I think they'll both discharge their duties in a fantastic way, and they'll both be strong for Edinburgh. Putting my personal thoughts aside,
yeah, co-captains is always a strange one, and it seems to be a fairly Scottish quirk, Ian. We don't tend to see other teams, particularly in the URC, doing co-captains. Seems to be a Scottish thing.
Yeah, it does. I was just trying to think of anywhere else where I've seen it. Certainly not off the top of my head anyway. Can't think of one in any of the top leagues, you know, England, France. Yeah. Well, I don't know all the French captains, to be fair. And you don't see a huge amount of it, although now we get top 14, we can.
Exactly.
But it's, yeah, I don't really get it. I think you should have a captain because, you know, we all talk about leadership groups and that. So you've got many captains, but surely there should just be the one point of contact. And, you know, even if you're not, I mean, when Al Kellock was like the captain at Glasgow, he wasn't getting picked every time because we had, yeah. we had an on fire Johnny Gray and a certain guy called Leone Nakarawa fill in those positions. So he wasn't really needed. But he was still the captain, and just, you know, just whoever was playing on pitch was the on field captain.
That's what I think a lot of other teams have done actually is they have a club captain, and then it's you've got a club captain, then you've got match day captain, which doesn't necessarily need to be the same thing. But your club captain is your representative at turning up at press events and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, then your match day captain is just the guy who the refs going to talk to.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think the big thing is that for me though is that I guess are they maybe part buddying him up? so that he's got, you know, he's got someone who can guide him through the next season, and then he goes to full captain or a single captain next year. I don't know. And I guess it was for Glasgow, it seemed to work because you had your yin and your yang off. You had your vice. You had, I think at the time it was Johnny Gray, and there was
Colley and Wilson were the two.
Aye, and co-captains. and you've got you know, someone to calm Wilson down and let him be the fun, happy go lucky guy that he is, but also someone to go, hang on, mate, settle down. So I think, you know, you don't have that with those two. I think it's more the fact you've probably got a bit of youthful enthusiasm with Jamie Ritchie, even though he's not the youngest boy anymore, you know.
Was Purgos and Gray the first ever one Glasgow tried? I seem to have a notion of that occurring.
I know Johnny Gray was co-captain at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Silly. Yeah.
Not my favourite thing.
No. Interestingly, as well, Craig.
Well, we also need to think, is Richie, because there's a new Scotland captain, we assume, going to be announced, and his name is firmly, you know, his name's in the hat written about 40 times out of 50 names to be pulled out, because we all think it's going to happen. So is this his sort of, like you said, sort of bedding in session?
Yeah, and it could be the fact that if he's going to go down the route of Scotland captain, then I guess you don't really want to have him doing a full job as captain at the club, because he's going to be away an awful lot with duties, and he's going to be away at press junkets and stuff like that, and launches and this, that and the other. So I guess, I suppose there is that as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think the interesting thing for fans looking at it is there's two potentials on the internationals.
John, you sound like a hyperman.
Discuss that it's not Scotland. Discuss Scotland internationals for me. Go, guys.
What do you mean about Scotland internationals? What Scotland internationals?
As in, it's two Scotland internationals who've been picked as captains.
Yeah. I guess that. Well, the question is it? They have been Scotland. They are Scotland internationals at the moment. But is Grant Gilchrist going to be involved in the summer tests, because there's a hell of a lot of people coming through that could be doing his job for him? So there's also that. Don't get me wrong, I want to see him play for Scotland, but there's a lot more second rows coming through now that could take his place. A lot younger guys coming through, so it'll be interesting to see.
I don't know if I still sound like a Dalek.
No, you're fine, John. You're fine.
It's jumping a wee bit, but that's all good. So it is. It's interesting. So we'll see how the teams go. Obviously, we're expecting the Edinburgh team tomorrow for their big kickoff on Saturday at home at the Dam Health. I'll get the right Welsh team this time. You've said in a few podcasts, Craig, in the build up to this, that, you know, you're always confident in the Dam Health, and you'll be expecting your boys to come out full guns. And I think it's interesting the way Glasgow have utilised. They've picked some of the Scotland players who were away are on the bench, so I wouldn't be surprised. Are you expecting a full strength Edinburgh, or a fairly close to full noise?
No, I think what was quite obvious with the two warm-up games that we played, there's still a lot of the Scotland lads are not around. You know, there was a smattering of players in there, so we'll wait and see. And also there's a few injuries hanging around as well. I don't think we're going to get to see Wes Goosen play just yet, because I think he's still got an injury that he's picked up in training. But one thing I'm hoping to see, and I've got my fingers crossed for, is Bill Mata playing on the weekend, because he's come already been out in the press saying he's excited to get started again.
A fit and firing Bill Mata will be a massive addition to that Edinburgh team, and it was something that, despite how well he's went last season, you know, it's something that any team in the world would benefit from. we've got a wee bit of time left for the lovely Freeview listeners. I want to touch on something a bit different. So we've had notification on Twitter. Ian's waving his hand.
Scotland's World Cup women's squad got announced a few hours ago.
Absolutely.
Is it out a few hours ago? Yep. Excellent. Yep. So
32 player squad. Yep. 16 and 16 split. It didn't look like there wasn't any sort of standout names missing. So I'm not sure if there's any injuries, but it's the same group that, the core group that we've seen over the last few years. So not a huge amount of surprises there. But you know, obviously it's, for these players, it's the biggest deal of their career, because here they are, history breakers, going to a World Cup.
Yeah, it's fabulous, Sam. I think we've got, in New Zealand as well, it's a World Cup in New Zealand, when New Zealand aren't playing just as well as they used to play. So it's quite an exciting time. And also, you know, obviously Scotland women will have pressure on their shoulders from themselves, but they have no pressure from home support, and it's going to be an interesting one for them to go out and just experience it and hopefully take a couple of scalps. It'll be really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed that they go out there and make a good show of themselves. They're up against some very, very big sides as well. And it is interesting when you see the England women's side winning again. And you know, what was it? They've lost 3 games in 50 or something ridiculous like that. You can't really see past them for the actual title, but everyone else, you know, it's great. We're going to have a period of time promoting women's rugby yet again, and it'll be brilliant to see, and hopefully, you know, plenty of press coverage, plenty of coverage from us on the exploits of the women out at the World Cup. And to your point, Ian, about a settled squad, it is really good. You know, there's been many times over the years where, you know, having a squad that you don't necessarily notice any omissions, but you're glad to see there's big names in there that have played very well for Scotland over the years that will be delighted to get to a World Cup and make a wee bit of history with that as well.
And the good news is that all the games are on weekends, because they're obviously, with the time difference in New Zealand, it's, you know, it's daft o'clock, get the coffees on times. So Sunday, first game Sunday the 9th of October against Wales at 5:45 in the morning. Australia, Saturday the 15th of October at 3 a.m. You know, if you're one of these kind of young people who likes to stay up late, you could just get some vodka Red Bulls in you.
Guess who's recording them?
Oh, and then like New Zealand, Saturday the 22nd October, 4:45 a.m. You know, for anyone who's used to staying up for pay-per-view boxing and UFC and all that, you'll be well attuned to these kind of times. So I imagine Cammy Scott will be available for messaging to keep yourself awake.
Yeah, so it'll be really interesting to see how it goes, and we'll be following all the coverage of that in due course. We should probably also just at this point, sad news reaching the World Rugby today. Eddie Butler has passed away, age 65. Voice of rugby for many people. Followed on from the voice of rugby, Bill McLaren, followed on in terms of commentary from him. I know the Welsh community in particular are have been very complimentary and very delivering lots of praise for his contribution to rugby over the many years. And I think a lot of people, the annual kickoff of a Six Nations and the Eddie Butler montage was a massive thing. So sad news, and obviously will be well missed. I know we don't necessarily often agree with Brian Moore on this podcast. I know he's been a better commentator than he has than he was player against Scottish rugby. But his tweet talking about his friend, his co-commentator for many years, is very, very heartfelt. And thoughts go out to everybody at this time for that. Rugby's back. Apparently, I'm going to move tone very slightly here, though. Okay, we've got sad news, we've got Rugby World Cups, we've got URC kicking off, but I'm going to pull this up 2 seconds, right? We are going to do a little bit of this, right? Are we ready? Ready, guys? Yes, it's time.
Well, we look high and we look low, we sing doggy bop on in the speedos, but I just want to know, did you see the legend that's Doogie Donnelly?
Yes, Ian's look of puzzlement. He is not sure where this is going.
I'm just excited for jingles.
Doogie Donnelly's finally got to him. Have you seen that? The excitement has absolutely ruined John's
It's broken, John. His Wi-Fi has died.
Yeah. We've just got a smiley face to remember him for.
It's like the end of a show, like the credits, you know. And they just freeze frame it over the credits.
That's it. We're done. So it's going to be. We've still got like 3 minutes of non Patreon time. So is he coming back? He's moved slightly. do we just spoil it for him because we can't hear him?
I mean, I don't know who's. Do you know who the Doogie Donnelly is?
I don't know if he was.
He's away.
I don't know if he'd seen a Doogie Donnelly, but I know that one of our secret super squirrel Facebook page users found a Doogie Donnelly doll online.
Yes, the Doogie Donnelly action figure.
Action figure, and I've just it didn't have a red. I was really disappointed because it didn't have a red wine glass in its hand. So. Just take my money now.
Yeah, I think they should do like an updated version, complete with sound bites of the anecdotes from when he was on their end of season.
Yeah,
you know. Am I back?
You're back now. Paid. There we go. Yeah. John's we've just spoiled it. We've just spoiled it for you, John.
What, my action figure?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Do you know what? I got sent that by 4 different people earlier on. And I was very excited. And my internet has clearly Doogie does not want this news out because he's clearly like cut the cord on my internet to make sure I can't tell the world that he's got an action figure. The big debate for me is like, right, so if Doogie's got an action figure, who else has got one? Like, do you get, is it like a Scott Sport collection? Do you get Jim Delahunt?
Yeah, do you get like a desk? It's like Subutio when you get all the background stuff. Like, I had a scoreboard and substitutes bench and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So, yeah,
like, you get a whole desk, you've got a camera guy, and then there's Hazel Irvin. And like, the Hazel Irvin, even if they did a sort of up-to-date model of the Hazel Irvin doll, it would still look exactly the same.
not aged a day. Not aged a day. No, I mean, I was thinking, do you get like Chick? Des Lynam. Is Chick Young, is he deserving of a, like, does he get a figure? Well,
yeah, he can, yeah, with the microphone in hand, but the microphone sold separately.
You've thought about this too much, yeah?
No.
He has.
Maybe not enough.
Clearly considered this. Clearly considered this. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how much does a Doogie Donnelly sealed action figure go for on eBay, I wonder. Do you think you can buy one of those?
I would hope so.
I would hope so. I mean, it's absolutely fabulous. Sorry, I didn't even know the one existed.
Priceless, I would say. Let's see. Buy it now, price £300.
Let's see what we've got. Right, so on eBay just now, you can get a Doogie Donnelly superb signed photograph for £8 or best offer, right? Action. I mean, I hope this is a thing because if it is, I'm buying it right now. No. not on eBay. Just signed photographs. So if anyone out there is the proud owner of a Doogie Donnelly action figure or wants to sell one, you know, obviously we're in the market for that. So give us a wee shout and we'll do what we can to come to a reasonable arrangement. Bearing in mind, signed photograph is only £8. So, you know, let's not get stupid about this.
It'd be amazing if one pops up on Bargain Hunt.
Oh, how good would that be?
Forget about that, Antiques Roadshow.
And then they get Doogie himself to narrate it, and oh, just be magnificent. But yeah, so for those of you joining us, where's Doogie Donnelly? That is our player spotted section, or, well, not even players, Scottish rugby spotted. So, you know, please, if you come across a player down your local Tesco, Ian's, what are you saying?
Is it Scottish rugby affiliates?
Affiliates, yes. If you discover that one of the strength and conditioning coaches from Edinburgh likes to shop at Tesco and is into the Mars bars, or you discover that one of the players is a big fan of a Greg's steak bake, then please give us a wee shout and we will give you a shout out, and we'll call this out because we want to know all, and basically the nitty gritty detail, the smaller the detail you can provide, just absolutely go into it because we want to hear everything on this. So, but yeah, where's Doogie Donnelly's back? Based on an action figure. Fantastic.
Well, there's that. Plus, I did have a player spotted for you.
You did? Fantastic.
I did.
Bring it.
Glasgow Warriors Stalwart. It's a bit of a cheat, to be honest with you, though, John, but it's a Glasgow Warriors Stalwart and Club Centurion, if not maybe. He's getting close to 150 appearances. But anyway, a master, Chris Fizzaro, was down at training tonight. He was there. He's doing a little bit of forward work with our senior men tonight. So, yeah, he was there. That's what we're looking for.
To have those connections.
Yeah. I'm going there on Saturday.
What colour of boots was he wearing?
I didn't see because I was on the pitch number 2 rather than pitch number 1, which is the fancy one.
Oh, honestly, Craig. Well, that's the sort of detail we're wanting. What colour of boots was he wearing? Does he do like a standard knot, or has he got a fancy knot on his boots? I want really in depth, like proper stalker material.
Right,
but
I'll
obviously
remember
don't
that for
stalk
next
people because that's
wrong. What flavour of Powerade was he drinking?
big decision. It's got to be blue all day. That red one.
I always associate Chris Fizzaro with red Powerade because I saw him throwing it up quite violently ahead of a Glasgow Warriors game. Andy just stopped at the corner of the pitch to sip our pints and sort of watch the rest of the warm up, the end of the warm up, and there's Fuzzy absolutely launching red powder. I'm like, is he coughing up blood? Not red Powerade, school.
I know, yeah.
And that's what red Powerade will do to you. That stuff is nasty.
I like red Powerade. I'm a fiend for cherry flavour stuff.
Oh, see, I like a cherry flavour thing normally as well, but no. Powerade, it's got to be blue. All day. All day. So yeah, there you go. You've got our tips on Powerade. We've got some players spotted. We've got all sorts of things happening. URC is back, and we will be continuing our coverage of it. We are now going to leave our Freeview customers. We are going to move over to the subscription-based model, like all good sports. And we are going to move over to our Patreon where we can cut loose a wee bit and do a wee bit of hands in the ruck. But for tonight, it has been an absolute pleasure, boys, to have you along. We will say goodbye to our free customers now. Good night from me. Good night from Craig and Ian.
Ciao.
Good night. I'm sorry I was late.
You see?
Nice.